the way you present it, Tom, causes me to view the government not as protect yourself from the enemy, but as an opportunity. Now, instead of my mind being on defense, it's on leverage, take advantage. This is an opportunity for me, an opportunity for the government, an opportunity for my wife and my kids, my company, and for everyone we can share this with, which is why I signed up with wealthability.com. And by the way, everyone, I'm not an affiliate. I don't get paid for this. This is just awesome information that you guys need to know about.
You're listening to the Kniepin' It Real Jodcast. This is your host, Seth Kniep.
Everybody, this is Seth Kniep, Kniepin' It Real with the Jodcast. I have a very important and special guest today. His name is Tom Wheelwright. His reputation precedes him, and I am honored to have him on the show. He has been an advisor and helper to Robert Kiyosaki when it comes to taxes, CPA, financing, real estate. I mean, let me just start with this, Tom. What is your relationship to Robert Kiyosaki? What did you do for him? I want to start there because so many of our listeners know who Robert Kiyosaki is, and I think it's a great starting point.
Well, so I met Robert many years ago, but I think one of the there were a couple of turning points. One was he had a very big tax bill, and we brought it down to zero. And I can say this because he talks about it all the time, but we basically brought him down to paying zero taxes, and you know he's making a lot of money. So he's pretty happy about that. He doesn't like it. So when we did that, that was a pretty big deal for him. And you know, the other thing is when we've taught all over the world together, and I remember very distinctly we were in Las Vegas one time. And I was talking about how the tax law is a series of incentives.
Right.
And I used the word stimulus packages back then. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me, really? Hmm. I said, yep, that's how the tax law works. Yeah. And that's the fundamentals of the tax law. And ever since that particular time we were teaching together, I'm like accompanying him every time. So our messages correspond really well. He's talking about building wealth, and the way you build wealth actually, and the way you you reduce taxes actually go hand in hand.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how you call it stimulus package. Most people don't think of tax law as stimulus. They think of it as punishment, or, you know, Uncle Sam the tax man, or I'm going to come in here and take more money that you earned. But you call it a stimulus. And reading your book about this, like, completely changed my perspective on tax, that this is actually helping you to keep your wealth. When we often view the government as taking the money versus, wait, they give you stimulus to keep your money if you're going to help the economy. And I'm so excited to dig into that today. Just for everyone listening, today I'm interviewing Tom Wheelwright. Tom Wheelwright, I want to do a proper introduction. He is he's a tax and wealth expert. He is a CPA. He is CEO of Wealthability. He is a best-selling author of Tax-Free Wealth with the Rich Dad Advisor Series. He is a speaker. He's an entrepreneur. He's a host of two popular podcasts, one called The Wealthability Show with Tom Wheelwright, as well as Tom Wheelwright CPA and The Wealthability for CPAs Show. His goal is to help people achieve their financial dreams faster by permanently and legally reducing their taxes. And I love how you have the word legally in there, because in today's day and age, if you're rich, you must be doing something evil. If you don't pay taxes, you must be cheating. And obviously that is not always the case. And so today's topic is how to build wealth while paying zero tax. Now, before anyone says, Seth, you're just full of BS, this is insane, hang on a minute. Give it a second. I want you to hear from Tom why this is possible. So, Tom, I'm going to create a scenario, and I'd like you to advise me, okay? So, sure. I'm an Amazon seller. I'm a multi-million Amazon seller. And I'm realizing that my biggest bill is not the salaries I pay. It's not payroll benefits. It is the tax, close to 50% of my net income goes back to the government, and that can feel disheartening. What do you recommend I do? And this is assuming I've taken all my business expenses, I've written them off legally, every possible legal way, even if I'm using my house and I've done it appropriately based on square footage or the number of rooms, whichever is better. I've done that, but I still have this massive 37, 40, sometimes almost 50% tax bill. When it comes to real estate and leveraging that, what do you suggest I do now?
Well, you know, the first thing you have to do is look at what incentives is the government presenting to you that you would like to take advantage of. You know, there are incentives in real estate, business, technology, agriculture, that there's just energy. So there's so many different incentives. And the question is, what incentive do you want to take advantage of? So this is a public-private partnership. Mm-hmm. The government wants us to do certain things to promote government policies. And if we do those, the government gives us a tax benefit. So in real estate, the government wants us to create housing. The government wants us to create commercial properties and so forth for commerce. And in exchange, the government gives us a major tax incentive called depreciation. Mm-hmm. Depreciation is really just a deduction for what you would think of as the wear and tear on the building. However, the government actually really wants to incentivize it. So instead of giving a deduction as you have wear and tear, they give you a lot of deductions up front to encourage you to acquire that building in the first place. So we call that bonus depreciation. And so what happens is that these days you acquire a residential property, you acquire a commercial property, you're going to be able to deduct 20 to 30% of the purchase price right up front. Now, the key actually here is debt, because you get the deductions not just for the money you put in, but you get the deductions for the money the bank puts in. So if you really want to have, debt is a way to leverage our money, but that's also a way to leverage our tax deductions. And done right, debt can be an amazing multiplier. Done wrong, of course, it's an amazing divider, right? Yeah. I mean, it'll tank your assets pretty quick and your wealth pretty quick if you don't.
Jump in real quick, Tom, because I just want to make sure I understand this. So just for simplicity's sake, I buy a $100,000 residential investment property. I put $20,000 down so I don't have to pay PMI, and the remaining $80,000 I am financing. I get a tax deduction on the $80,000 that I borrowed from the bank.
As well as the $20,000, right. So you're gonna get a deduction on the entire purchase price, both your portion and the bank's portion.
So that's unbelievable. So money that doesn't belong to me, money I'm borrowing, is giving me a tax deduction, as well as money that I'm investing. So this is now incentive to borrow, because obviously my tax bill, my percentage, like I said, it gets up close to 50% sometimes, is a lot greater percentage than the interest rate. Let's say I'm at 3.25 or 4% interest. Am I thinking about this correctly?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, remember that debt actually is what creates money. Okay, so money's created. When the bank creates debt, they're not just taking somebody else's money and lending it, right? I mean, they're actually creating money. And so the government wants, that's how you expand the economy, is by expanding the money supply. We've seen a lot of that in the last year or two, where the government has expanded the money supply considerably, but with government spending.
Right.
But banks do the same thing. And, you know, when we had the collapse in 2008, 2009, it was simply because there was all that massive extinguishing of debt with all the foreclosures. That's why the economy collapsed like that, was because all that money was taken out of the economy where there were all those foreclosures and there was no more debt. So there is absolutely, Seth, an incentive from the government to borrow. Yeah. And it's a pretty big incentive. I mean, think about your example. The tax deduction from the bank's money is four times the size of the tax deduction from your money.
Wow.
Okay. So you're leveraging basically in that case, 5 to 1, where the bank lends $4 to your $1. And that's a pretty high leverage rate. And that means that you're leveraging your tax benefits exactly the same way.
Would you say it's a fair statement that tax law is the most complicated writing on the planet Earth?
Well, Einstein said that. So
you're in safe company.
That is the most difficult thing in the world to understand, which is actually why I love taking it on. I'm going, well, if Einstein can't understand it, then, you know, that would be a fun thing to learn.
You know, it's,
you know, here's the thing, Seth, the details are very complicated.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why you need tax advisors, like, you know, like Wealthability. But the concepts are actually very simple.
I agree. Yeah.
They're very simple. You know, if you start with the idea that the tax law is not there just to raise revenue, but it's also there to allow government to manipulate behavior.
Right.
Okay. Once you get that through your head, then all of a sudden things start to change. The way what you were saying earlier is that you know, it completely changes your behaviors, because now you're thinking, well, wait a minute, these aren't loopholes.
Right.
Okay. These are intentional incentives to get you to do what the government wants done. Okay. The government knows, most governments know, that they're not as good at building housing as the private sector is. And in fact, if they did build housing, it'd cost a dollar for every dollar of value they got in return. But if they can give 10 cents on the dollar, you know, if they can give 10 cents and get a dollar back, that's a way better return for the government. The government, I want to be really clear about this. This is a win for the government. So,
a win for society, a win for the economy.
This is all about a win for the wealthy. No. The government isn't doing this because the wealthy have great lobbyists. Okay. Right. The government is doing this because the government wants us to put our money in certain places. And if we agree to take that risk, which it is a higher risk than putting it, say, in a mutual fund, then we get that benefit.
Yeah. And what I love about it, when you mentioned in your book, which Tax-Free Wealth, that it is, Einstein said, it is the most complicated writing on earth is tax law. It now makes sense to me when I would approach multiple CPAs and I would say things like cost segregation, and they would say, what's that? And I'm thinking, wait, I'm just learning these principles and this person's supposed to help me leverage my wealth. And a lot of them, they just don't know jack about it. They don't know this stuff. And I wonder if a lot of it is they're intimidated because it's complicated and they're trying to play on the safe side. But the way you present it, Tom, causes me to view the government not as protect yourself from the enemy, but as an opportunity. Now, instead of my mind being on defense, it's on leverage, take advantage. This is an opportunity for me, an opportunity for the government, an opportunity for my wife and my kids, my company, and for everyone we can share this with, which is why I signed up with wealthability.com. And by the way, everyone, I'm not an affiliate. I don't get paid for this. This is just awesome information that you guys need to know about. So my next question, Tom, is, in light of buy, borrow, and die. So I buy houses, I buy residential properties, I start reducing my tax liability. Tom, if I want to go all out on the buy, borrow, die, and I love that last word there, it's so morbid, but it's a financial thing, and I get it. People are like, why is die part of your strategy? Well, we are gonna die. What happens to my wealth when I die? How does it impact my prodigy and my kids? So walk me through this strategy, Tom. Like, what do I buy? What do I borrow, and what happens when I die? Just take me through that strategy.
Well, so the idea, and it can actually be used with any asset. It doesn't have to be real estate. The idea is that, you know, you buy an asset. The asset goes up in value. Well, today, now this could change because there is a proposal to change this.
Right.
But as of today, if you borrow, use that asset for collateral and borrow the money, because you have to pay it back, that borrowing is not a taxable event, okay? And the fact of appreciating, the asset appreciating, that's not a taxable event, okay?
Okay.
I mean, there's some people who would suggest it should be, but it's not, okay? And frankly, really shouldn't be.
And real quick, just to be clear. So I own a house, its value goes up. I'm not taxed on that increase in value as long as it's owned by a single member LLC, right?
Just about everybody who owns a house is done a line of credit. There was no tax on that line of credit.
Yeah.
Okay. You borrowed that line of credit. You have to pay it back.
Right.
So therefore it's not your money. Right. So therefore you're not taxable on it. Okay. So you can keep doing that as it keeps going up in value, you keep borrowing, but then you can buy additional assets with the money you borrowed. Right. So you could put a second mortgage on your house, for example, take that money and go buy another piece of real estate. So you can keep doing that and multiplying that.
Right.
In the current tax law, you could actually sell a property and do a like-kind exchange and buy another property and not pay tax too. So that's another aspect to that, but you wouldn't have to do that. You could just keep the asset and keep borrowing from it. And then there's the die part, okay? And that is, by the way, that is under attack right now in Congress and with President Biden. President Biden would like to eliminate the die part of that strategy. And what he wants to do is, see, when you die right now, all those tax deductions you've taken, all of a sudden they become free to you. They become permanent. And you never have to pay tax again on that asset. So let's say that asset, you bought it for $100,000 and you die and it's worth $2 million. Okay. Right. Well, when you die, all of a sudden, that gain differential between $100,000 and $2 million, that goes away. That's right. Called a step up in basis.
Right.
The Biden proposal proposes to eliminate that so that you would not get the die. So the die part of the equation would go away. That is the current proposal. So there's actually a lot of planning to be done in the next 6 months to avoid that die part of that strategy.
And what you mean is, currently, assuming it doesn't get passed through Congress, and I hope to God it doesn't, because that just removes more incentive for us to continue the joy of capitalism and creating wealth, which helps the economy. I want to make sure I understand. So if I buy a property for $200,000, it goes up to $2 million by the time I die. As of right now, whoever inherits the property would not pay tax on the appreciation of the property. Am I understanding that correctly?
That is correct.
But if it's pushed through Congress, this proposal, then my children would owe the tax on that appreciation?
Correct. And they would owe it when you die. Even if they don't sell it, you would owe it when you die.
Wow. So basically, this is a way to increase taxes for my kids. Oh my goodness, that's insane. Okay, so I have a question. Someone's going to object. They're going to say, well, I get this, Tom. Let's just say we go with real estate because it's one of my favorite investments. And we're investing and we're doing the buy, borrow, hopefully die thing. And we have an economy collapse. In fact, one of my friends and business partners, this is his fear, is because of what happened in 2008, 2009, he is afraid of borrowing money. He's afraid of not paying for cash, because what if that happens? All of a sudden, my tenants stop paying rent, whether it's short-term or long-term rentals, and I do both. And there's different, I know the pros and cons of that, but I still have this bill to the bank and I can't pay it now because they're not paying. What is your response to that? Because it could happen. What would you say to someone who's hesitating on this strategy because of the what if?
Well, before you start borrowing lots of money, become a professional investor. Don't do it as a casual or an amateur investor.
Yeah.
Doing things as amateurs is a recipe for disaster. Okay. So it's the professionals. As we were talking earlier before we started that if you're afraid of debt, it's not the debt you're afraid of, it's the asset that you don't trust.
Yeah.
Because the purpose of debt is to acquire an asset, right? So if you trust the asset is going to produce cash flow. Now, there are things you can do to mitigate that, right? So 5 years ago, everybody was borrowing as much as possible. 75% to 80% loan to value. A couple of years ago, people stopped borrowing so much. They started going to 60-65% because they were worried about that crash.
Yeah.
Well, so you have to manage your risk and you need to make sure that even when cash flow goes down, that you can still cover that debt. But that's, again, that's a function of the asset, not the debt. You need to make sure that you are an expert and a professional with regards to the asset. You're professional managing that property. You know that you can get tenants in that property. People have to live somewhere even when there's a pandemic, right?
Yeah.
And for the most part, if it is widespread like it was last year, the government's going to help out, which they did. Right. So I don't think it's quite as big a risk, but I really think the risk is not in the debt. I think the risk is in the asset.
Yeah. So when I go back to the buy, borrow, die strategy and I buy properties, all I need to do is make sure that my cash flow compared to my depreciation of both of the property, the down payment, the mortgage, doing cost segregation, so I depreciate it correctly, right? That as long as my depreciation is higher than my cash flow, I am tax-free. Am I oversimplifying this or am I missing something?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. So yeah, as long as your depreciation, you're right. As long as your depreciation is more than your cash flow, then you're not paying tax on that rental income. That's for sure.
Right.
Now, the goal is, of course, to have the depreciation so big that it doesn't just offset the rental income, it offsets all of your other income as well. So it offsets your income from your business, your job, your other investments as well. And that's very doable as well. So when we talk about tax-free wealth, we're not just talking about, okay, you're getting all your money from real estate and you're getting depreciation from real estate. And, you know, so you have no tax liability. We actually are saying you can actually get enough deduction in the investment side to offset the business side, the wage side, and the other type of investment side. So there's that much incentive in the tax law that really anybody who pays tax does so voluntarily.
Yeah. So so using Just One Dime as an example, we have a coaching company and a company that builds Amazon stores for investors. Our profits are high over here. So in order to offset that, we started investing in real estate. Then we ran into this problem. Well, real estate, passive income entity, Just One Dime, active income entity. So thank God I'm married to an amazing woman and she became a real estate professional. She logs her hours. She does a minimum of 750 per year and it's spread out amongst the homes. So it's amongst all the properties. So now, and tell me I've got this correct, the active income entity, Just One Dime, those tax write-offs are effective because our real estate company is also an active income entity. Therefore, it can offset it. Correct?
So that's one way to do it.
Okay.
The other way to do it, of course, would be to make your active entity passive. And
okay.
That's not that hard either. Okay. That's a matter of who owns that entity.
Right.
So you have to match up. So either passive and passive, or you have to, those losses, you have to turn them from passive to active. Active losses can offset any kind of income. Okay. Passive losses can only offset passive income. So it's just a matching. It's not like passive losses aren't deductible. This is a huge misunderstanding in the real estate community. Passive losses with the right tax advice are always deductible, and they're always deductible currently. Okay. If you're not deducting currently, it's probably because you're not getting the right tax advice or you're not willing to make the changes in your life in order to
qualify.
Take advantage of that tax advice.
Yeah. Could you break down cost segregation study where you're separating the property from the home, from the furnishings, and how those depreciate at different speeds and the land that doesn't, et cetera? Because I think that this was a huge move for us is I knew I could get some kind of tax write-off, but when I understood cost segregation, I was like, oh my goodness, this adds on this huge bonus.
It does. So you just have to recognize that, you know, when you buy a property, you're not buying just a building and land. You're also buying all the improvements to the land, the landscaping, the outdoor lighting, garage, the covered parking. You're buying all of that, those improvements. Plus, you're buying everything that's inside the building. And what the tax law actually requires you to do. So I want to be really clear. People think, I've heard actually accountants say that cost segregation is aggressive. And my response is that if you look at the law, cost segregation is required. It's not aggressive. It's required. Actually, not doing a cost segregation is not just a bad for your client. Or bad for the taxpayer. It's quite frankly improper and inappropriate and potentially even illegal, although the IRS doesn't care,
right?
Because they want their money, right? So here's what happens. So land doesn't wear out. So
right.
Even the government knows that land doesn't wear out. So you don't get any deduction for land. Buildings wear out over a long period of time. And the government has decided that period for residential property is 27 and a half years, and for commercial property is 39 years. Okay, so that's about, between the land and the building, you're talking about 50 to 60% of what you paid for the property. But you've got another, maybe 70% even. And then you've got 10% probably attributable to those land improvements.
Right.
And you probably got another 20%, 15 to 20% attributable to the contents, the flooring, the window coverings, the ceiling fans, even some of the wiring counts, the cabinets. There's all sorts of things that are inside a building that are not necessary for the building to function, and therefore they're not considered part of the building.
Right.
Well, the land improvements and the contents are, they wear out faster, right? I mean, some of us, our land improvements when it comes to agriculture, like our landscaping, it wears out really fast because we kind of tend to kill it. But for other people, it's just not gonna, it doesn't last forever, right? It just doesn't. Land improvements don't last forever. So the government says, well, we're gonna assume that that's gonna last for about 15 years. And then the contents, they say, well, we're gonna assume that's gonna last for another, you know, five to seven years. But what they did in 2017 in the Trump Tax Act was they said, look, if it's land improvements or it's the contents, we're going to allow you to take that depreciation deduction all the first year. So that means that that 20% that you allocated to the contents and the 10% you allocated to the land improvements, or 30% of the entire building in some cases, the entire project in some cases, could be deductible the day you buy the property and put it into service. So going back to your example of a $100,000 house, you may have put down $20,000 and received a $25,000 to $30,000 deduction the first year.
Man, so in other words, if I make $25,000 to $30,000 in income, it is tax-free because it is countered by the depreciation of the property and its contents.
Right. And where this is becomes actually pretty interesting when it comes to building wealth is, remember that happens in the first year. So in the second year, your depreciation goes way down.
Yeah.
Which means what do you have to do? You have to buy another property.
Right.
So it actually creates an addictive behavior.
This is a good addiction.
That's what I call it, a positive addiction.
Right.
Right. It's a positive addiction because you have to keep buying properties. In other words, you have to keep building wealth,
right,
else you're going to pay tax.
Yeah.
So the rule is the more income you earn, the more tax you pay, but the more wealth you build, the more assets you build, the less tax you pay. So it's really about building assets. The tax law is very much a consumption tax. In other words, if you take the money that you earn in your business, for example, your Amazon business, and you spend that, right? You go on vacation, you travel, you know, whatever. It's not deductible. You're going to pay tax on it.
Right.
But if you use it in a business, investment, et cetera, it is deductible. So you don't pay tax on it. So the key is keep building your wealth. And interesting, in that ProPublica article, they actually said that, you know, people get, these rich people keep buying assets and they don't pay tax. That's because that's how the tax law works.
Right. But people see that as evil. People see that as evil. Like, you're evil. You're doing something wrong. Like, no, it's simply being smart. It's using knowledge and applying it. And that helps the economy.
Right. It's just really doing what the government wants done. You know, you have a choice. We are partners with the government. Anybody who's ever gotten a paycheck and saw withholding or that FICA guy taking money out of our paycheck knows very well that we're partners with the government. Now, the question is, are you going to be a silent partner, like most people are, or and let them just take money out of your paycheck? Or are you going to be an active partner and actually participate in investing the way they want the money used? And if you become an active partner, like Jeff Bezos, like Elon Musk, like these guys that they talked about, well, these guys make so much money and pay no tax. Well, yeah, because they've done exactly what the government wants them to do, and in exchange, they pay no tax.
Yeah. So here let's just call him Bobby McGee. So he takes this advice. He takes his income from his, we'll call it active income entity. He buys a house. He now is a real estate professional, or his spouse is. So he's able to take advantage of the tax deductions. And you mentioned you have to keep buying to get that depreciation.
Right.
So how does he buy house two? Does he, what do you recommend? Does he, is it a good idea to refinance his current home now that bank has collateral, use that to buy the next one and that one, the next one? Like, what would you recommend to scale, to leverage the wealth, to create more wealth?
Well, it depends on how fast you want to do it. I mean,
very fast. You know, let's say Bobby McGee wants to go fast.
Capital is not that hard to come by. I mean, you can always do a syndication and let other people put in the money, because there are plenty of people who are willing to invest their money, but not their time.
Yeah.
And then there are other people willing to invest their time that don't have the money.
Right.
Those people should be getting together and they should be partners. And those partnerships are called syndications. And you need to make sure you follow all the rules and all the laws and everything else, you get in pretty serious trouble. But capital is just, I'm sorry, it's just not that hard to come by. If you're really good at producing the asset, you'll have people lining up to give you money to invest.
Yeah, that concept I think is so important, Tom, because you know, a lot of people, they think capital is difficult to come by, and they take on this mindset that, I'm not saying there aren't real hardships, there are. I grew up broke. I was extremely broke. I was in debt and devastated before I started selling Amazon. But it's a mindset. It starts up here, realizing, wait, I can actually do something. I can be part of the solution, which I think is so powerful. And that's what I hear. That's at least, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's the underlying message I get from your teaching and your training, is I can do something about it. There's something I can do and act on, which I think is so key. And that is a shift in mindset and it creates a huge difference for people who want to start taking ownership for their life and building wealth.
Right. As I was explaining to our wealth ability professionals, we have 50 plus CPA firms around the country and in our network. And as I was explaining to them yesterday, our job is to give clients a choice, right? That's our job. If you're not educated, you have no choice.
Yeah.
And it's education programs like yours, Seth, that allow people to start. Now they have a choice. Now they can say, oh, I want to do real estate, or I don't want to do real estate. I want to pay tax, or I don't want to pay tax. I said at the beginning of the show that if you pay tax, you are doing so voluntarily. In other words, you are willingly ignoring the tax law for what it is, and you are willingly being ignorant, frankly.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And not in a bad way, just sure. You are.
You're choosing to ignore knowledge.
You're choosing not to learn how to reduce your taxes. All these rich people that reduce their taxes, well, they have very expensive tax advisors like me. Okay. They do. They have very expensive tax advisors. And their tax advisors know how the law works, and they all know that the law serves, you know, investors and it serves business owners. And so they're just doing what the law tells them to do. The great thing about our country is that you don't have to be big to get the same tax benefits as the big guys. Hmm. Okay. You just have to learn how to do it. And that's why I wrote Tax Free Wealth. That's why I do the Wealth Ability Show, is because I think everybody can do it. And I just don't think it's that hard.
Yeah. And knowledge creates accountability. And now it's one's decision. And we have a choice. We can put our head in the sand, or we can learn and take the time to learn. Tom, I want to thank you so much for being on the Just One Dime Jodcast. Where can people go? Before I even say that, just to clear the air on here so everyone understands, Wealth Ability has helped me dramatically in how to manage our finances through bookkeeping, through CPA services, through wealth advice. We currently own multiple properties. We own one in Guatemala, 4 in Mexico, 2 in Miami, 1 in Breckenridge, about to do an offer, 1 in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, multiple properties in Austin. And this has all happened in just the last few years, Tom. And so thank you, first of all, to you and to Karen, she's so sharp, and your entire team for the help that you guys have provided to myself and the Just One Dime team. Tom, where can people go if they want to take advantage of this advice and this knowledge that you guys offer?
I appreciate that, Seth. And Seth, I appreciate you and your wife taking the action that's required, because I can't, as you saw, Karen and I, Karen's my business partner, my CPA firm, but we can't reduce your taxes. We can only tell you what you need to do to reduce your taxes.
Amen.
The key is to have an advisor who will actually tell you and has a process for showing you how to reduce your taxes. So you went through the Wealth Ability process, and it was actually that process, as sharp as Karen is and as sharp as our staff is, without the Wealth Ability process, frankly, you wouldn't have gotten the same results. We've actually seen people who've gone to, they've gone to really strong tax advisors, and they go, why don't I get the same result? Well, there's a process to this, and we've developed a very proprietary process that we use for every client. And so it works every time.
Yeah.
That's what you're always looking for, right? You're always looking for the pattern and the process. So it's just wealthability.com. And like I said, we will actually match, we'll not just match you to the right tax advisor, but we'll actually give you access to our process. And the tax advisor has our process, and you guys work together. This is an interactive. It's not you turn it over to your tax advisor and it's not like, okay, my guy does that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That doesn't work that way, because we can only tell you what facts you need to change in order to reduce your tax. We cannot do it for you. Yeah. So, you know, I always say, if you want to change your tax, you have to change your facts.
So I know.
what you've done so well, Seth, what you and your wife have done so well, is you've taken the action to actually take our advice, follow the process, reduce your taxes. And while you've done that, obviously you've built just amazing wealth. So congratulations to you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. And that's what I love about the program, is it's empowering, because by receiving this information, as we apply it, we change. And all of a sudden we start even viewing the world different. Like, we can't drive down a street without looking at a house and saying, wonder what we could do with that. How much would that, what would the depreciation be on that property? What would the, like, it literally, it's this awesome disease now. Wherever we go, like, we made a commitment from now on, every time we fly to someplace for more than a week, just like a getaway or vacation or a business trip, we won't do it unless we buy property in that area. So now we're being intentional with our trip. It becomes a business trip. That's also a tax write-off. I mean, it's phenomenal what it can do. And at the same time, you're enjoying your life. You're having fun. You're going to dinner. You're interacting with real estate advisors. It really is phenomenal. So I'm going to close this up, but stay here just for one moment, Tom. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. This is Seth Kniep, Kniepin' It Real. Wealthability, spelled just like it sounds, wealth, and then ability.com. Go in there, apply. You will speak to someone who will look at your custom situation, and they can help match you to the correct CPA that matches your long-term goals. Let me make this very clear. It is a very custom process designed to give you the knowledge so you can act on it and legally reduce your taxes. Thank you again, Tom. I feel like we just barely scratched the surface. I would love to have you on in the future. And everyone, you have an awesome day.